Welcome to Married to Murder. I'm Clint.
And I'm Summer.
And we're a true crime podcast.
Where I tell him all of my favorite true crime stories, and he's hearing it for the first time, just like you.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy a tale of murder.
Welcome back, everyone. We're on to episode 3 now.
And today we are going to be talking about the murder of Tom and Jackie Hawks. I hope everybody had a great weekend. So happy Sunday. We are in California, November 2004. And at this point, Tom Hawks and his wife, Jackie, are missing. So let's find out a little bit about Tom Hawks.
I know the problem already. California.
Your mom's going to be so mad at you.
I don't care.
FYI, his mom and sister live in California.
As does most of my mom's family, but I'm going to still trash talk them.
Northern California, to be clear. So Tom Hawks grew up on a farm in California. He was in the military in Vietnam. He has a brother named Jim. Tom was a probation officer. He was married pretty young and had two boys, Ryan and Matthew, and divorced his first wife when they were very young. But he actually stayed pretty close to his first wife. It didn't seem like they had a whole lot of animosity. She was still around and very, you know, involved. It didn't seem like they had a whole lot of issues. When he met Jackie, she had actually been married as well and was actually a widow, even though she was 10 years younger than Tom. Her husband and her had been in a motorcycle accident, and he was killed in the motorcycle accident.
Ooh, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. She was actually still in a wheelchair from the motorcycle accident when he met her.
Well, damn.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that he would even, you know, like, apparently she really impressed him. And so Ryan and Matthew really liked her. They took to her. Even though, you know, their mom was 100% involved in their life, they still called Jackie mom, too. And Jackie could not have kids of her own, so she treated Ryan and Matthew like they were hers.
I was glad that everybody seemed very accepting of the situation.
Yeah, it seemed like a very good parenting and co-parent situation. So apparently Tom was very good with his money, made some really good investments. Apparently he was very, a couple of people said he was tight. I think that's what his brother said, kind of described him as. And he was actually able to retire in his 50s.
That's impressive.
Very. So he wanted a boat. It was a big deal. He wanted a boat.
Who doesn't want a boat? Even though a boat's just a big hole you're throwing money into in the water.
I don't want a boat. Lots of people want a boat, but I can't swim, so I don't want a boat.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't like to fish, but being on a boat is fun.
You and your daddy can go on a boat. No, thank you. They bought a 55-foot trawler, which I don't really know anything about boats, but that's what they bought.
It's 55 foot long, light offshore. Trawler boats are typically large personal, small commercial scale fishing boats.
Sometimes it's called a boat and sometimes it's called a yacht. And I honestly don't know the difference between a boat and a yacht other than just
the size.
Yacht is fancy.
They're all a boat. Yacht's just a fancy boat.
Well, I guess it was a fancy boat. So he paid $300,000 for this boat.
I'd say that's probably closer to a yacht than a boat.
And he made a lot of upgrades. They spent a lot of time doing, you know, different things to improve the boat. They actually moored the boat at Newport Harbor. They would work on the boat. They would spend all their time together. And they lived on this boat for 2 years.
Probably had to because of that $300K payment on it. Jesus.
Well, they enjoyed it. That was their dream. That's what they wanted to do. Everybody said they were madly in love. They just, you know, they spent all their time together and it was just perfect. So what changed?
Somebody pissed off somebody?
Nope.
Somebody wanted what they had?
Not yet. Matt had a baby.
Uh-oh.
So first grandbaby Jace was born and they were like, no, we don't need this boat anymore. We have a grandbaby.
Yeah, babies, be it your own or grandchild, generally tend to make fun things like that go away.
Well, Matt and Jace lived in Arizona, not in California. And they realized that they had a really large boat and it was really needed more people to handle it. So they decided they were actually going to downsize. And actually, they were going to buy a house in Mexico and get a smaller boat. But where they were going to be located in Mexico was actually going to put them closer to where their grandchild was in Arizona.
Makes sense.
So that was their plan. So they got ready to sell the boat and they put it in a magazine instead of using an agent. Do you remember the times when you would like look through magazines? I remember my stepdad would have all these car magazines that were just for sale.
Yeah, and I had a few of those myself. I'm very, very familiar with them.
It's so funny because, like, I don't even know if they make those anymore, but it was just pages and pages of cars for sale and he would look through them.
But now everything's pretty much online for the most part. There's a few sites that are very specific to, you know, different areas of automotive.
Around November 6, 2004, they had a bite. Skyler De Leon, which is an interesting name. It was a 25-year-old former child actor. And he goes to the boat, and Tom and Jackie take him out for about 45 minutes. And he's absolutely like, oh, yes, we definitely want this. So I said he was a former child actor. He would, when you hear this case, they always talk about how he was on the Power Rangers. He was not a Power Ranger. No, he was like a kid under a tree.
Like an extra, basically.
Yeah, like kid number two or something like that. He was not a Power Ranger.
I mean, if we're going by that, you know, definition, I'm technically a child. I was technically a child actor too and a model because I was in a commercial for my parents' business back in the day and actually did a little local modeling thing for JCPenney.
You know, I knew about the JCPenney thing. I didn't know about the commercial.
Oh, we're talking like mid-90s. Those are bad times.
What did you do in the commercial?
I was swinging on a swing.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I wish I could find that.
Camera panned over me and that's all I did.
Well, and that's basically the kind of actor he was. But they didn't know that. And he told them that he had saved money from his acting days and invested and that he could afford this boat that was now more expensive than $300,000 because they had made all of these upgrades.
Well, naturally.
So he had brought his friend Alonzo Machin. It's M-A-C-H-A-I-N. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but sorry, y'all.
I'd be highly impressed if anybody could pronounce that right that wasn't part of his family.
Yeah. He is 21 years old and was a former prison guard, and he'd gone with him to see the boat. So once they decide they want it, Skyler calls his wife Jennifer and says, come down and see the boat. Jennifer comes down. She is pregnant, and she also has their 10-month-old daughter that comes down to see the boat.
Oh, good Lord. That sounds like a bad time.
Can you imagine having a 10-month-old and being pregnant?
I can only imagine trying to kill one of them.
So, of course, you know, Jackie is, oh my God, there's a baby and she's pregnant. So they're like, we love these people. We absolutely want to sell the boat to you. So on November 12th, Tom and Jackie take the boat out. It's going to be their last, you know, hoorah. They go out to Catalina. His brother Jim has his own boat as well. So they brought their boat out and like they kind of like anchored next to each other and just kind of spent like time together going back and forth. And then they went back to California.
So it was a boat party then.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like I mean, I don't like boats and I can't swim. I would have been scared to death, but in theory, it sounds really fun.
I can see it being fun. I mean, kind of the way they do with the party barge rentals down around Florida and all that stuff.
Tom and Jackie's boat was named Well Deserved.
Makes sense.
Which is a cool name. After this, they go back home and Tom and Jackie are not answering the calls. They're not answering Ron and Matt's calls. They're not answering Jim's calls. They actually, because they were on, you know, the water so much, Jackie had a best friend that would actually handle all their bills for them. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't get in touch with them either. Like, she had access to their bank accounts and everything. And she's like, okay, this is not normal. You know, they would call the baby and just listen to the baby, you know, chitter chatter, making baby noises and be so happy, and they weren't calling. So this was very unusual for them. Ryan calls his Uncle Jim because Ryan's in Arizona. He's like, Uncle Jim, can you go check on them? His Uncle Jim lived in San Diego and was also a former chief of police.
So he knows the drill when it comes to checking on people.
Exactly. So he goes down to the Newport Beach, and he sees the boat. The boat is there, but there's no Tom and Jackie.
Well, and technically, the boat was sold at that point, so.
They had said they were going to sell it. They had shown it, but nobody knew for sure if the sale had gone through. They had shown the boat, and Skylar said they wanted to get it, but there was nothing official yet. They knew they had taken the boat out and, seen it.
So kind of verbal agreement.
Like they had said, yes, we want it, but they didn't even know how to, use it yet. So their car wasn't there either. They had a Honda CRV, and that was not there as well. They looked at the boat, and they were like, this is not the way Tom would leave this boat. He was very meticulous. Everything had to be in its place, and there was a whole lot of stuff that was out of place, stuff that would, like, the salt water would get to that you just wouldn't normally leave. Like, if you knew what you were doing with a boat, this is just not how you would have left it. They were like, this isn't okay. So he left a card and said, hey, we're looking for Tom and Jackie. Can you please call me? Jennifer DeLeon actually calls him. She says they did buy the boat.
Okay.
So, and they paid for it in cash, is what she tells him.
Something that big, no, you don't typically pay for in cash, even if you're loaded. You would have some sort of paper trail check, cashier's check, something like that.
You would think. I mean, I can't imagine carrying that kind of money around. She says they paid in cash, though, that, she's really polite, but she's also wanting to get off the phone pretty quick. Yes, we paid for it. Yes, we bought it. We haven't heard from them. As far as we knew, they were going to Mexico. We watched them drive away. And if you get in touch with them, can you please have them call us, too? Because we had a couple of questions about the boat. It's basically the conversation she has.
Well, do I get the feeling they know where they are?
Maybe they do, but she's not telling a whole lot. I mean, it's just very quick off the phone. Jim and his old coworkers and his daughters, which actually one of his daughters happens to be a police officer. So, yay.
That's good.
So they start investigating, and there's no deposits in their account. If you got cash, you're not going to walk around with $300,000-$400,000 just chilling in the back of your Honda CRV. You're going to put some of it in your bank account, and they're not seeing anything in the bank account. So Jim reports them to the police as missing on November 26, 2004.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. And luckily, because Jim was a police officer and had, kind of done all of this legwork already, the police are going to take him seriously. They're not going to blow him off. Sergeant Dave Byington, who is 46 with the Newport Police, starts to investigate. And when he starts looking into Skylar, they find out that he is a convicted felon that's on probation. He had done an armed burglary previously.
Oh, Jesus.
And the reason that Skylar has this, kind of Skylar DeLeon that sounds like a stage name is because...
It was.
He was born John Julius Jacobson Jr.
Other than the Julius part, that couldn't be more generic of a name.
It sounds like John... What is that?
John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Yes, that's exactly what it reminded me of. Exactly. That's all I could think of. So he was born August 12, 1979 in Sun Valley, California. And he married Jennifer Henderson in 2002. And they had their daughter Haley in 2003. And they're like, oh, we bought this boat in cash, but they're actually living in a converted garage in her parents' duplex.
Something's not adding up here.
His dad was very physically abusive of him and his mother. And his mother left his dad. And somehow the dad got custody. His dad was a drug dealer. That's
not good.
Yeah, no. In 1998, Skylar joined the Marines.
That's not necessarily bad.
He was actually letting go from the Marines.
That's not good.
So in 2002 is when he legally changed his name to Skylar DeLeon. Jennifer was raised in a very religious family. Like, her parents were like very strict and they had very high expectations. And she actually met Skylar in a chat room online. Do you remember the early 2000s and everybody in their chat rooms?
AOL and Yahoo chats and this, that, and the other. And yeah.
So that's how they met.
Now we all do podcasts and Discord and TikTok. All the other various forms of social media we have nowadays.
Yep. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, everything else. Snapchat. Oh, my God. God forbid somebody message somebody, they have to Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
And what is that? What is that thing that Nicholas has? The little Snapchat record. Like, you have to Snapchat many days in a row. Like, you have to keep it. I don't even know what that's called, but that you have to keep it in a row.
Do I look like I'm young enough to really do much on Snapchat?
I just know that because he tells me. And he gets upset when we take his phone and his record breaks.
I get on there just enough to send you goofy pictures every now and then when I'm bored.
I like those goofy pictures, though.
Hush.
So Jennifer's friends pretty much describe Skylar as very childlike, irresponsible, and immature. And he was constantly trying to recruit, like, his coworkers and his friends for, like, crimes. He would brag about crimes and say, oh, I'm a drug dealer. Oh, I've done this. Oh, I have this kind of money. It was always, I'm about to do this or I have this. And he didn't have it and he hadn't done it.
So he was a bullshitter.
Very much so. Bullshitter, con artist, all that kind of stuff.
But he was also a child actor.
Kid number two. Jennifer and Skylar had told people, including a realtor and accountant, that they were coming into a large amount of money and a boat.
Woohoo!
So Sergeant Byington, and he has, because this is the weekend, he has Detective Mario Montero take Harbor Patrol, and they go to the well-deserved. And they just go aboard to do, like, kind of a welfare check. And nobody was there. Jennifer wasn't there. Skylar wasn't there. Tom and Jackie weren't there. So he sees what looks like a possible blood stain on the deck. And he reaches out to Sergeant Bind and he's like, this might be blood. And he's like, y'all have permission, go in. So they go in and they start looking and they find a Target receipt from November 17th. And it says Clorox wipes and trash bags.
Can you say crime scene cleanup kit?
And you don't even like true crime, and you know that.
I've watched enough CSI. And Bleach never works, by the way.
Thank goodness. There had been no credit card or bank activity on Jackie and Tom since November 15th.
That's not good.
Sergeant Byington and Detective Evan Saylor go and interview Jennifer and Skylar, and they separate them. And Jennifer says, we saw them, they drove away in their CRV, and we've tried to reach them because we had a couple questions, but we haven't been able to reach them. And Skylar says, well, we paid $465,000 in cash, but Tom agreed to report that we only paid $265,000 for a tax break. And he says that he earned all this money from child acting and real estate investments in Mexico. And then he says, well, actually the money came from drugs. He tells the police this. Like, yes, I bought the boat, but I bought it with drug money. And that's why it was cash.
Jesus. Of course it was drug money.
So police are shown the sale of the boat. There was also a document, like, with, you know, they see the all the documentation that, yeah, they bought the boat. And it does say they bought the boat for $265,000. There's also a power of attorney for Tom and Jackie.
That's fishy.
So they're saying that they gave them power of attorney, not their kids, not Tom's brother, not the woman that handles all of their financial stuff already.
These two strangers that are buying their boat.
Exactly. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
Both of these documents were notarized by Kathleen Harris and witnessed by Alonzo Mason, which is the 21-year-old that went with Skylar the first time he went and looked at the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know who Kathleen Harris is yet. Skylar asked the detectives, like, they're getting ready to leave. And he's like, hey, do any of the family members know how to work the boat? Because I never got a tutorial from Tom. And I don't know how to switch the gas tank. And Sergeant Biden's like,
should I ask him before you killed him, dumbass?
Well, Sergeant Biden's like, the family's really upset because they don't know where their family members are. So now is really not the time to be asking them that stuff.
Some people just don't respect the dead.
Well, they're missing right now.
I'm assuming they're dead. Let's be honest here.
Detective Saylor interviews Kathleen Harris, who is a notary. And she starts getting really nervous. Kathleen and Skylar have a mutual friend, Adam. And Adam had warned Kathleen that Skylar was not a good guy and that she didn't want to cross him. And Kathleen and Alonzo both tell Detective Saylor that they watched the Hawks sign the paperwork. That, you know, yes, everything was legit. We saw them. They signed both of these documents. And neither one of these people have a criminal history. But there's a lot of discrepancies in their stories that, like, the detectives are like, I know y'all are saying this, but we don't really believe this.
Has anybody looked at signatures on the bill of sale and what known good signatures are from Tom and Jackie?
They look like their signatures.
Okay, well.
So they're just, but they're still like, this stuff doesn't look legit. Like, we're just, why would you give them a power of attorney? After multiple interviews, Kathleen Harris gets herself an attorney, and she comes and meets with the police with her attorney, and she confesses that she's never even met the Hawks. She's never seen them in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She just notarized everything that she was told to notarize, and they paid her like $4,000 for it.
Jesus.
Detectives brought in Matt Murphy, who I know you don't know who Matt Murphy is, but he is the best prosecutor in the world. I love him so much. Any episode of 2020 that has Matt Murphy on it is like the best episode. He's retired now, but he prosecutes like every case. Anytime they're like, oh, we can't prosecute this because there's too much circumstantial evidence, he's like, oh, I can do it. I got it. So I love him.
He's like, hold my beer.
Yes. I love him so much. He's so good. He also has an investigator in the prosecutor's office, Larry Montgomery. So they're working together. Larry Montgomery was a former homicide detective. So the detectives and the family start like a big media push because they're trying to get information and they want to see if anybody's seen Tom and Jackie. So they put Ryan Hawks out there and he's extremely attractive. So that gets a lot of attention. So that kind of helped out with the media attention and drawing, you know, because they don't have a body.
Not yet, anyway.
And they're these older couples. So they're looking and they're like trying to get help with what's going on. And they're still looking for their car. December 15th, 2004. They get a call, and a woman in Ensenada, Mexico says, I know where the car is. I'm looking at it.
Oh, well, damn.
So they go down to Mexico. They start interviewing the detectives. It's her neighbors across the street. And the neighbors tell them, this is Jose Salido, was a friend of Skylar's.
Oh.
And they said on November 26th, Skylar and Jennifer show up. And Skylar's driving the CRV, and Jennifer's in a red car. And they tell Jose, hey, we've been really good friends for a long time, so I just wanted to give you a car. As you do. You know, you just give cars to people.
No, you
don't. When you're living in your in-law's garage.
No.
So he took the car, and he tells them, you know, oh, I'll give you the title later. Don't worry, no biggie.
Something tells me no.
Skylar was arrested on December 17th.
Good.
They do a search and they find two cases filled with personal papers from the Hawks, their digital recorder and some tapes, Jackie's laptop, Jackie's cell phone battery, Jackie's voter ID card, and their calling card. Like, you remember those calling cards when you used to have a calling card to call people?
Yeah.
Remember that? They get a Jennifer and they offer her immunity and say, if you'll testify and give us information, you know, we'll let you go. Which kind of pissed me off. I'm glad she doesn't take it. She absolutely refuses. She had the deal of a lifetime and she refuses.
She'd rather rot in hell, but you know.
Yeah. So Skylar's defense attorney was Michael Maffetta. The defense attorney advised Jennifer many times that they needed to divorce and that Jennifer did not need to write him. She needed to separate herself. And she ignored that, and she wrote him 2,300 letters.
Damn, that's a lot of letters.
Remember, she's pregnant. So on Valentine's Day, she had their son, Caleb Julius DeLone. And then she did a camera interview with the baby where she defends him.
Really?
They also arrested Alonzo, who was initially arrested for conspiracy to commit fraud. And once he gets arrested, he says, I helped with the documents, but I don't know anything about the disappearance. I just was, you know, he asked me to say I saw this done, but that's all I know. So he was basically agreeing to that part. And remember, he's only 21. They're trying to make a deal with him and say, like, hey, you know, can you... Because they really want to get Skylar. That's who they want. So they're really trying to get him. He gets out of jail on bail. Well, he skips out to Mexico.
Of course he does.
Then he actually, luckily, he comes back from Mexico on March 1st, 2005. They give him a deal, and he gives a firsthand account of what happened to Tom and Jackie.
Real or?
A real firsthand account.
So he confesses, basically.
Yes. He says that Skylar and He, being Alonzo, bought 2 stun guns and some handcuffs.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Effective tools.
They had gone on several trips on the boat with Tom, and they realized Tom worked out a lot. Like, he had worked out every day on the boat. Like, he had a regimen, and Skylar was small. And so they decided between the two of them, they could not take Tom. So they decided they needed a third person.
Oh, good Lord.
They bring in John Kennedy, who is a guy who really, like, they didn't really know him. Like, they just searched for, hey, do you know this guy? I need somebody to help me with this. Can you get me a guy? And, like, he was just like, okay. So they dress him up and say that he's an accountant and bring him on as Skylar's accountant. And that's why he's on the boat.
Oh, damn. If that been fishy, I don't know what is.
Right. They head out to sea. Jackie makes a last call and leaves a voicemail saying, you know, we're looking at selling the boat. You know, we'll call y'all tomorrow. So they have Tom, Jackie, John Kennedy, and Skylar, and Alonzo. And they separate them. So Alonzo is up on the top part with Jackie, and the other two are down, like in the stateroom area with Tom, and they overtake him.
Oh, damn.
Once Jackie starts hearing noises, she, of course, is like, what the hell? So Alonzo attempts to use the stun gun on her, but it didn't work. He ends up handcuffing her. When they bring her downstairs, she sees that Tom has been hit, and he is handcuffed. And they put duct tape all around their eyes and mouths. Basically, what they do is they bring them upstairs one at a time. And the reason that the signatures look like theirs is because it was theirs. They made them sign it.
So they forced them to sign.
Right. They told them if they would sign, they would let them go.
Well, that was a lie.
Yeah. And Jackie had actually not signed, like, correctly. She, like, had kind of altered her signature a little bit to try and let it be known this is not her normal signature. Like, it was her handwriting, but she signed, like, a different, you know, just a little different way than she normally did, just to try and throw it off.
Mm-hmm.
But Skylar said, oh, we're going to let you go, and we'll bring you to Mexico and let you, you know, let you loose there. You know, no big deal. What they ended up doing was they brought him on top, on deck, and they put more duct tape around their eyes and their mouths. And they bound them where their arms were behind their backs, and then they bound them together where Jackie's back was against Tom's chest. So not back to back, but like...
front to back.
Yeah, like almost like you're spooning, but you're standing up.
Really?
Tom had fought back and kicked Skylar. Yay. Kicked him in the groin and like kicked him hard enough where like he landed across the deck. Yay for that.
A good groin kick will definitely make a grown man stumble.
John Kennedy then hits Tom in the head. They end up tying the rope, another rope around their armpits. And they attached them to an anchor.
Oh, damn. That's brutal.
And it's a 66-pound anchor. And Skylar throws it overboard. Yeah. And they're alive.
That will definitely be enough to keep them under.
So they're in the middle of the ocean. This anchor has been thrown overboard. And Tom and Jackie are being pulled across the deck.
I can definitely see that happening.
And Jackie's head hits the railing, and she's not quite fitting through the opening. So John Kennedy, like, kind of moves their bodies to where they fit through the opening, and they go in the water. And that's how they died.
Damn. Yeah, those bodies aren't going to be recovered either.
No, they're never going to be found, and it's awful. Because they were, I mean, it's bad enough to kill somebody, but at least shoot. I mean, I don't, there's no good way to die. Let's just, I mean, be real.
I mean, if you got to choose a way, quick and painless, but still, you know.
I can't imagine being thrown in the water like that. And then maybe one of them died before the other, like, and you had to watch. I can't, well, I mean, I guess technically they're duct tape. I don't know how much they could see, but that's just awful. So then Skylar goes into cleanup mode, and they put gloves on, and they start wiping everything down. They throw the tasers overboard. They find any medication that has Tom or Jackie's name on it, put it in a trash bag. They take anything that's got personal items. They take the handcuffs. There was blood from where they had hit Tom on the quilt. They put that in the ocean. They found cash, $3,900 in cash that they found, and they divided it by 3.
Oh, that was just gas money. What are you talking about?
They're on the way back, and they've just killed two people, and John Kennedy decides to go fishing and drink beer. That's what happens after you kill people.
Are you shitting me?
No.
That's ridiculous.
He's sitting on the deck fishing while they're coming back. He didn't know these people. He had never heard about this before that day. Nothing. Like, he just...
And just like, hey, come kill some people with me. All right.
Yeah, like, hey, we need a third person. Like, you're asking somebody for like a third person for golf or pool or something. Like, you want to come? No, we're going to kill somebody. You want to come on? Like, no big deal. And he was just fishing.
I mean, you got to do something to kill time on the ride back.
They got back about 1 a.m. Skylar has Alonzo take Jackie's phone, drive to Mexico, and call Skylar to make it look like the Hawks had gone to Mexico. Alonzo goes to Mexico, makes the call, breaks her phone, and tosses it in the trash. The only thing that Alonzo and John got for this murder was the $1,300 each. Their third. That's all they got.
Damn. That's it?
Yeah. They didn't get anything.
That is ridiculous.
Like, they just did it for nothing. But Skylar would frequently try and blame his dad for the murders. He would say, like, his dad was a drug dealer. His dad was a bad guy. But he would try and say, oh, no, my dad did this. And actuality, before he got John to come help him, he'd actually called his dad to come help. And his dad had told him no.
Damn. This dude's a straight piece of shit.
Yes, he is. So while he was in jail, Skylar tries to solicit another inmate to help murder Kathleen Harris so that she can't testify against him. His cousin was also going to testify against him, and there was another witness, so he tried to get all of them. He convinced the inmate that he had $1 million. I have no idea how. He's very good, I guess, at selling people.
He's a snake oil salesman.
Apparently, because all these people, I'm like, why are y'all believing this guy? Like, he lives in a garage. The inmate recorded him, and he ended up with additional charges.
Good.
So Matt Murphy, because he's amazing.
He needs all the charges.
Went for the death penalty against Skylar and John Kennedy.
Ooh. Please tell me you got it.
We ain't got there yet. This case ended up being massive with nearly 40,000 pages of discovery, 600 audio tapes and CDs and DVDs, and 3,000 pieces of evidence.
Where was this case being tried? Because if it was in California, ain't no way in hell he got the death penalty.
It's California.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
If he actually gets death penalty, I would be shocked.
Jennifer was arrested, too.
Good.
But she was tried separately. So she was tried alone on November 6, 2006. They said that she was the harder one to prove because she wasn't actually on the boat. But Alonzo had said that basically she knew everything. Like, she was called about everything. She, you know, she was called every time, you know, hey, we're doing this. Hey, we're getting on the boat. When he had called her down to ask her to come down, it was specifically to make them trust them. Because a woman who's pregnant with a baby is much going to make you be much more trusting than two guys. You know, a 25-year-old and a 21-year-old guy.
No, I certainly won't be anymore.
Right. It's so sad.
Can't trust them pregnant bitches. Come on now. They're always up to something.
Well, Ryan Hawks actually showed up to Jennifer's trial in a wheelchair because he had a motorcycle accident and broke both femurs. This whole story is like, don't ride motorcycles.
No, so, they're fun if you respect them and know what you're doing on them.
Stuff can still happen. It took the jury 4.5 hours to reach a verdict of guilty.
Good.
So she was sentenced to 2 life terms without parole. And Jennifer actually divorced Skylar December 1st, 2007.
Gee, I can't imagine why.
Skylar's attorney was Gary Polson. Skylar and John Kennedy were tried separately. Skylar's trial started October 1st, 2008. They basically admitted that he was guilty. Like, they didn't even try and say he wasn't guilty. And they were just trying to keep him from having the death penalty. So it took 2 hours to find him guilty, which I'm not really sure why it took 2 hours when they already said, like, yes, we're guilty. He got the death penalty.
Oh, good.
John Kennedy's trial started on January 26, 2009. Also, can we just say, poor Matt Murphy, he had to do 3 trials on this same case. Like, that's a lot of work. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, but I mean, it's a lot of the same evidence, too.
I know, but damn. You figure he'd be like, I just fear he's tired.
Just bounce from one courtroom to the next, Again.
John Kennedy was like, I don't even know Schuyler. I've never met him. I was never on this boat. I don't even know who y'all are talking about.
I call bullshit.
I mean, he really had never met him before that day.
Well, no, not before that day.
This guy actually testified in his own defense. Which, you're going against, one, that's really normally not a good idea. And two, you're going against Matt Murphy. I don't recommend it. Found guilty and got the death penalty.
Good.
Here's your problem with the death penalty in California.
They don't actually carry through with it.
There's a moratorium on it right now in California. You can be sentenced to death, but they're not actually doing it.
Yeah, as long as some bitch is behind bars and doesn't get out, good.
Schuyler did an interview and told 48 Hours that Jennifer was actually the instigator and that it was all her idea, not his.
I don't think so.
I'm actually kind of torn because I read a book on it and she handled all their finances. I don't know. I'm just really kind of torn.
You did all the research on it. This is the first I'm hearing of it, so I don't know.
I think they're both really bad people.
Oh, agreed.
I think he would have been a criminal no matter what. I don't think she necessarily would have been, but I don't think she had a problem with anything he did. I think she was kind of like, we're broken, you need to fix it, and I don't care how you fix it. It's kind of what I think it went. Like, if this is what you have to do, I'm tired of living in my parents' garage, fix it now, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, there are much more legal and easier ways to fix it.
Like, just get a job, like, really?
Well, it's kind of hard for a felon to do, though.
He could have got a job. Like, you can get a job.
Oh, you can
get it. It may not be the job you want, but you can get a job.
You can get a job, but, you know, any job that you really want is typically going to run background checks and not generally hire felons.
That's possible, but... So, the deal that Alonzo Mason got was... 20 years, and he's eligible for parole actually in 2023. It was really kind of funny. Like I said, I read that book, and I'll get the name of it when I get toward the bottom. But he was kind of pissed off. He thought he'd have a better deal than that. And they were like, you've already testified. And they put his butt in jail, like in like prison for a couple of days. And then they were like,
change your mind yet?
They were basically like, because he was like, oh, y'all need to give me a better deal or whatever. And he's like, no, this is what you're getting. And finally he realized like, okay, this is what I'm getting. And they were like, you let two people die. You could have stopped this. So thank you for testifying. But you know.
You still a fool. You still had a hand in it. You still going to spend some time.
All right. So there's like a whole bunch of side notes to this case.
Oh, God.
The first one is that Schuyler was also charged and convicted for another murder.
Really?
Yeah. So he, before he ever killed them, he had killed J.P. Jarvie a year before the Hawks. He slit his throat for $50,000.
Really? That's all a throat slicing cost? That's cheaper than I anticipated.
He took $50,000 from him. Like, it wasn't somebody paid him. Like, they rode together, him... Like, it was J.P., Schuyler, and his cousin, Michael. That's why he wanted to have his cousin, Michael, solicited for his cousin, Michael, to be killed. Because his cousin, Michael, knew that he had killed this guy. They had all gone to Mexico together. And he had talked this guy into, like, doing an investment. So the guy had $50,000 for an investment. Apparently, this guy can talk anybody into anything. He goes, you know, they're on their way to Mexico for an investment. And while they're down there, he kills him.
Damn. Really?
And then takes the money and pays like credit card debts off.
This dude don't make sense.
I can't. While he was with Jennifer, before all these murders and stuff started happening, he would wear women's clothes. And he would like borrow her friend's clothes and say that he liked dressing in women's clothes. And he would tell Jennifer and the neighbors that he needed to have a sex change because he had some form of cancer, which makes absolutely no damn sense. There's like no cancer on the entire planet that's like, hey, I need to have a sex change so it can fix my cancer. But he would tell people this.
This dude's just a sick, twisted son of a bitch.
So then he would tell people that he was born a hermaphrodite. Not true.
he's a compulsive liar, too.
Very much so. He wore adult diapers in the prison.
Oh, God.
And it was kind of like, does he really need them? Or does he just like wearing them? Like, when they arrested him, and they, you know, because when you get arrested, they check, you know, they're checking for weapons and all kind of stuff and stuff that you're not supposed to have. And they find out, they're like, what is this? And they find the adult diaper and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, what? He blamed it on a motorcycle accident. So I don't know if he had a legit issue or if it was just some kind of weird thing that he liked.
Yeah, he's got a legit issue. It's called he's fucked in the head, apparently.
So while he was in prison, he lost over 60 pounds. He would frequently like be effeminate, kind of dress like a woman. He wanted to have a sex change. He would buy lip gloss, mascara.
Oh, he was definitely a prison bitch then.
He asked for like maxi pads, which even if you have a sex change, you don't need that.
No.
He had put in an application for a gender reassignment surgery and paid before he had the surgery, before, you know, all the criminal stuff happened. He had had a deposit for a gender reassignment surgery and paid his deposit of $500. And the surgery at that time cost $15,000. So he had paid that deposit on June 19, 2004 and put his application to have these surgeries. You have to, there's all those requirements, like especially if you're paying cash. I don't know all the actual requirements if you're paying cash, but if you're going through insurance, because I used to review these, there's all these requirements that you have to meet, psychological requirements if you're having a sex change, you know, physical requirements, different types of things. And one of the requirements is that you have already lived as whatever, you know, he was a man changing to a woman. So he has to have already lived as a woman before they will do the actual sex change. Well, he lied on this application and said that, yes, he had lived openly as a woman, but he had not. I mean, he's married to a woman, has a child, and has a pregnant wife. That is not living openly as a woman.
No, that is definitely not.
So he also said that he had been taking hormones for 2 years. Not true. While he's in prison, on March 13, 2008, he had tried to cut off his penis with a razor.
They should have let him eliminate that portion of the gene pool.
I don't know if he was actually trying to do it, if he just wanted attention, or you just never know. Like, it's, you just know. He seems to like attention. October 2015, California made a ruling that transgender inmates could not only get reassignment surgery, but that taxpayers had to pay for it.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope.
That is the rule. In 2015, 401 prisoners applied for the surgery. The cost of the surgery, including therapy, because there's more than just having the surgery. You know, there's all kinds of, there's hormone therapy, there's, you know, psychological therapy, all kinds of stuff that goes with it. And the cost of the surgery, including therapy and follow-up care, ranges from $50,000 to $100,000.
If taxpayers knew they were paying for that, I'm sure they would be pissed.
Well, I mean, it's, they do. Now, from what I was reading, I don't know how much it changed, but at that time, they were, like I said, it was 401 prisoners that applied for it, but I think at that point in time, they had approved like four. So it's not like they're approving it for everybody that applies. But still, that's a lot of money. If four people approve it, that's $400,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's they're a lot very of freaking
easily $400,000. And probably more, honestly.
I kind of feel like if you're in prison, you don't get those kind of, you don't get a sex change, you don't get to get married, you don't get cable.
Necessary medical like, care only.
Yeah, I'm just kind of a fan of you're in prison. I don't think you should get all those fun little things that you're getting. I don't understand why anybody should get married in prison or all these other things. So the only little thing is that Jennifer started dating. She was dating a female prisoner. Then she broke up with the female prisoner and started dating Brett Langford, who was a robber, who said that they were engaged. And then he sent Skylar all these letters being all ugly, like, oh, she's mine, blah, blah, blah. But apparently they're not together anymore.
Hmm. Why does that not surprise me?
But that, the book that I read was called Dead Reckoning by Caitlin Rother. It's a pretty interesting read. It's got a lot. It goes way more in depth than I could ever possibly go to in an hour. But because this is a very, very involved case. But I'm actually impressed that we got it done in less than an hour, because I thought it was going to take quite a while. But that is the murder of Tom and Jackie Hawks, which is awful.
Yeah, that was a bit gruesome, to say the least. I hope one of the other inmates helps old boy there with his reassignment surgeries in a not-quite-so-sanitary way.
Consistently goes to, apparently there is a psychiatric prison, and he consistently gets taken to does something to get brought to the psychiatric prison, will stay for months, they'll put him back in the regular prison, and then he'll do something and they'll bring him back. And it's like consistently going back and forth.
That's nuts. Just do the world a favor and put his ass down already.
Well, if they take that moratorium off of the death penalty, he would be.
It's California. Don't expect it.
Yeah, I don't really, but. And I'm so torn on the death penalty. I don't really want to talk about it right now, but. Because I don't want to bring that up, but I'm very torn on it.
Yeah, that's getting a whole different ball game, and yeah, we're not getting into that on here.
But I do know that his family, the Hawks family, was extremely upset that and felt that they were not getting the justice that they deserved, and that it was political because they were told, you know, I talked about Matt Murphy going through three trials. They went through three trials. Let me say that as well. I forgot to say that. You know, this poor family went through three trials, and then two of these people got, you know, the death penalty. And then they're like, a governor came and was like, oh no, we're not doing that anymore. So they were extremely upset, and they're like, this is not what we were promised. This is not what we were told. And, you know, you're just doing this because of politics. So they were very, very upset. And I get it. You know, if it's one thing for me to be like, oh no, that's not nice, or blah, blah, blah. It's not my family member.
No. And it's honestly, it's not right what happened to their family. And it definitely sucks for them. The only positive side is they have some closure now.
But a lot of it just doesn't even make any sense. What were you going to do? You were just going to live on the boat? You were going to sell the boat? What were you going to do?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I've stated this before, but criminals is stupid.
Just like, and then the two people that you got to help, they got $1,300. What were you thinking? Get your money up front.
I mean,
I'm not trying to tell you how to be a criminal, but get your money up front.
I've done some stupid stuff for money, but never anything that stupid.
You've never done anything criminal.
No.
But
stunts or making myself look like a fool. Yes. Criminal, no.
I'm just consistently amazed with people who are like, oh, you're a murderer. You're willing to murder somebody, but I'm going to trust you to pay me later. You're willing to kill somebody, but you're absolutely going to pay me later.
Nope. Cash up front, fool.
Like an IOU from a murderer. What? Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. I don't understand why anybody would think that that person's going to pay them. It's so weird.
No. But again, criminals is stupid.
God, are they? $1,300 to kill people. I can't even understand it. All right, y'all. Well, we will have another episode out next Sunday. And just remember that you can send us anything, case suggestions, any emails, comments, whatever, to what?
MarriedTheNumberTwoMurderPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us under the same name on Instagram.
And we do have a website, which is MarriedToMurderPodcast as well. So,
MarriedToMurderPodcast.buzzsprout.com.
Sorry, he knows it better than me.
I also have it right in front of me as well.
That helps. And it's kind of long. But anyway, that's MarriedToMurderPodcast.buzzsprout.
Not S, Z.
Oh, Z. BUZZSPROUT.com. Okay. Y'all don't need the website anyway. Just email us or come to the Instagram. But, oh, and give us some stars because we would like some stars, preferably, you know, the more the better.
Like, share, everything.
Yeah, we're brand new. So anything that you can do to help us out would be great because, you know, we're, like I said, we're brand new and we're totally excited that we're doing this. Like, I've been wanting to do this for a year, so I couldn't do it by myself. So thank you to my husband who's helping me with this. Otherwise, I would never have got to do it. So y'all have a great week.
All right. We will see y'all next time.